WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, December 15th. Coming up, many people are turning to religious exemptions to avoid COVID-19 vaccine mandates. We'll take a look at the history and consequences of the exemptions. That story from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois stopped licensing traditional midwives in the mid-1960s and made the practice illegal in 1992. But as Hannah Meisel reports, Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a law once again sanctioning midwifery outside of hospitals beginning next fall.
Traditional midwifery was cast aside in favor of midwives with nursing degrees, but that's made access difficult in some areas of the state, as nurse midwives are mostly limited to practicing within a hospital system. State Representative Mary Flowers is the only sitting lawmaker who was around in the early 90s when traditional midwifery was outlawed and has tried to reverse that law for years.
Because so many women and children were dying two decades ago, and it wasn't being talked about.
Flowers and other advocates say licensing certified professional midwives once again will help cut down on maternal mortality, especially among Black mothers who may experience medical racism in standard healthcare settings. I'm Hannah Meisel.
2021 has been a year of tragedy in Champaign, with more deaths from gun violence than any time the last 6 years. The Champaign City Council unanimously approved a blueprint last night for a way out of the tragedy. The plan infuses $3.2 million in the first year into existing efforts from the Housing Authority, school district, reentry groups, and more. This money comes from the American Rescue Plan. Mayor Deb Finan says the pandemic relief dollars give the city a chance to find more.
We have life-changing community violence occurring at the same time we were the recipient of $25 million to make a difference in our community. And so we have an opportunity that other councils perhaps haven't had.
The city will help its partners collect data on each organization's accomplishments. The city manager believes this will encourage local philanthropy in the violence prevention initiatives. So far this year, gun violence in Champaign has killed 16 people, a big increase from 5 years ago when only three people were murdered. A University of Illinois dorm's tradition of singing through the phone continues even through the pandemic. Illinois Newsroom student journalist Luis Velasquez has more.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
After the absence of singing live last year, Dial a Carol at Snyder Hall is back with on-air performances. Dial a Carol is the longest-running tradition in university housing, which has been hosted by Snyder Hall since 1960. Groups from the U of I campus community volunteer to sing Christian songs for 1 week, 24 hours a day, to callers. Anyone can call and request a Christian song of their choice. Dial a Carol volunteer Oluwaseyon Adederen says she has been involved since her freshman year. She says so far, calls have been made from about 47 different states and 17 countries.
Some schools will some teachers will call hey, do you mind singing for my fifth grade English class or something? Or some people are calling for their kids right before they drop them off at class.
Adederen says she hopes Dial a Carol will bring holiday joy to people. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Health officials reported nearly 200 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County yesterday. The number of active cases is more than 1,700. The number of Champaign County residents hospitalized is up to 33 from 31 a week ago. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 81 patients hospitalized with COVID-19 and 18 patients in the ICU. Both numbers are down slightly from Monday. Still to come, a look at the history and consequences of religious exemptions against vaccine mandates. We'll get that story from Side Effects Public Media coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Many employees are turning to religious exemptions as vaccine mandates become more common in workplaces. Exemptions are federally protected under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But what's the history of these exemptions and what are the consequences? Lauren Chapman reports for Side Effects Public Media.
Imam Ahmed Al-Amin frequently speaks to his Indianapolis mosque about getting vaccinated. For him, it's just as much about faith as it is personal. He had COVID-19 in April 2020.
My experience with malaria was horrible, but COVID was worse. I never thought every day that passed by or night, I would just assume that would be my last day or night.
A handful of vaccines, some MMR, shingles, and nasal flu vaccines, use pig technology, specifically porcine gelatin, as a stabilizer. That goes against religious dietary restrictions for some Jews and Muslims, which are a common reason for religious vaccine exemptions. None of the COVID-19 vaccines available in the U.S. use porcine gelatin. Almin says he doesn't support Muslims using religious exemptions for mandates. With more people pushing for broader exemptions, he says all faith traditions should encourage vaccines.
We have to use the faith to save people's lives. We should not use faith to destruct humanity, to cause harm to humanity. If you don't want to take vaccine, that's your choice. But please do not use faith as a weapon.
There's a long history of protecting religious expression in the U.S. Religious exemptions are federally protected in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Rigel Oliveri, law professor at the University of Missouri, says these protections include reasonable accommodations for sincerely held religious beliefs.
The courts are very reluctant to intrude too deeply on what a person's sincerely held religious beliefs are. So it doesn't have to be something that comes from a mainstream faith tradition. It can be a much more personalized belief system. What we really wouldn't want is courts sort of deciding what counts as religion and what doesn't.
And so courts have given wide berth to religious beliefs, with a few caveats. Title VII says employers do not need to make accommodations that create an undue burden. That's where Oliveri says the limitations lie for religious exemptions for the COVID-19 vaccines.
But what's very clear is that the religious exemption is not a giant loophole you can just walk through.
And there's a reason for that. Exemptions can have real consequences. Dr. Saad Omer is director of the Yale Institute for Global Health and an epidemiologist. He says with any non-medical exemption, it requires a Goldilocks approach. If exemptions are too hard to obtain, Omer says research shows people will find other ways to navigate around mandates.
And if they are freely available, we know that they tend to cluster. And they can contribute to, we have shown for against multiple diseases now, that they can impact the local epidemiology of disease and can be associated with outbreaks.
Those clusters have consequences for unvaccinated and vaccinated members of a community. In a good year, flu vaccines hit about 40% efficacy. The mRNA COVID-19 vaccines boasted about a 90% efficacy. But no vaccine is 100%.
So that increases everyone's risk. And so there are consequences for folks.
Throughout the pandemic, Imam Ahmed Al-Amin invited health experts to talk to his mosque about social distancing and vaccines. In fact, he calls efforts to get people vaccinated a jihad.
When people hear the term jihad, the only thing they know about is the extreme violence. But jihad simply means a struggle and resistance. And this is our jihad. It's our resistance against an enemy for humanity, a virus that claimed the life of hundreds of thousands around the world.
For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Lauren Chapman.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be cloudy and windy today with a high of 64 degrees. We could see wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour out of the south this evening. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Emily Hayes, Luis Velasquez, and Lauren Chapman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.